Okay. Well.
So, welcome to Couch Convos, and this is a podcast where we kind of peel back the curtain on mental health and navigate life and what it's like to be a therapist and just having a more realistic view as to, like, how to navigate certain challenges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, disclaimer. Couch Convos is not a substitute for psychotherapy. If you are in need of immediate mental health assistance, please call 988 or visit your closest emergency room.
Absolutely. So we obviously love this podcast because it makes mental health a little bit more accessible. But like Caroline said, it is not a substitute for therapy. We understand that this might be the most accessible way that some people can hear from a therapist. So that's great. But if you ever need resources or want to work with us or want to connect with a different therapist in your area, let us know. Reach out to us at www.soulhavengeorgia.com.
We're here for you guys.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So obviously I am Sarah Erdman Jordan.
And I am Caroline Ferrari. First name is Velvet, but I don't go by that. We go by Caroline.
I still love Velvet, though.
Velva, it is officially my mom's name, so I just feel like I can't take it, you know?
Yeah.
She's already branded the Velvet.
That's very true. And, just like, and she's very much a Velvet.
Yes, she is. She's very much a Velvet. Whereas I don't feel like I am a Velvet.
I feel like parts of you are a Velvet, which you probably don't want to hear, that, like, your parts of you are similar to your mother.
Mom, I love you.
But, like, the older I get, the more I'm like, that wasn't a Sarah thing to say. That was a mom thing to say.
Yeah, I've had so many people tell me recently, like, that was something, like, your mom would say. Or yeah. Your voice sounded like how your mom does. Or you look like your mom in that picture. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's both great, but then also very scary. It because is. I'm hitting that age in my life where it's like, wow, I'm turning into my mom.
Yeah, and, like, I also need a retinol. So yes. Anyway, so we will be your co-hosts of Couch Convos. And yes, we are also both licensed professional counselors. Big fancy words for we are therapists in the state of Georgia. So a little bit about us. I don't know. How should we rapid fire? Let's say our Myers-Briggs, Hogwarts house, even though that like completely puts us on blast as millennials. And... what's something like, what's an awkward icebreaker that people like to say? We did so many in grad school. So.
It was always two truths and a lie.
Okay, sure. So Myers-Briggs, Hogwarts house, and then awkward icebreaker. Okay. Do you want to start?
Yeah. Cool. Myers-Briggs. I am an INFJ. It's been a hot minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
INFJ. My Harry Potter house is Hufflepuff. Shout out to you guys. Always wanted to be a Gryffindor, but... we just got too many feels for that. And then my two truths and a lie. Let's see. Okay. I am an only child. I've had 5 surgeries and I have a lab. Those aren't very interesting.
Am I allowed to say which one's the lie?
Well, no. Okay, sorry. You know me way too well.
Okay, well, if you have a guess as to what the lie is, drop them wherever we post this.
Put them in the comments on YouTube.
Say whether it's comments on YouTube, if this is on Instagram, whatever that looks like. Okay, so for me, I'm also an INFJ. I think that's pretty accurate. Also super ironic that like 2 introverts are
doing a podcast. Yeah.
Hogwarts house, I'm a Ravenclaw, which like definitely tracks.
That tracks.
I really wanted to be a Slytherin for a long time because I was like, those are just like baddies. But
plus like Draco.
Yeah, but like there's no part of me that would do well in Slytherin.
No.
I would just feel like immense guilt the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm too much of a rule follower, 100%. Yeah. But then 2 truths and a lie. This is hard because my like go-tos were always like, I've never broken a bone, but
recently
I have now. Mm. 2 truths and a lie. I have 3 dogs. I have rescued bunnies and I have been to 3 different countries.
Drop them in the comments.
Yeah. I don't even What's know if lie? I've been to 3 countries. I may have just said 2 lies.
Call her out if we have 2 lies and 1 truth.
Yes. So obviously Couch Convos is going to be a lot of conversations about life, navigating those challenges, and also our perspectives as therapists and as people. Because honestly, therapy's really weird. And I talk about that with clients all the time. Like, therapy is so odd. And that's why, like, we are literally on my therapy couch. We are in our office. We co-own a practice, Soulhaven Counseling, together. And we wanted to kind of, like, flip the script a little bit and make these conversations a lot more accessible, more than just therapist-to-therapist conversations, so that, like, the general public can see that therapy is so interpersonal and it doesn't have to be scary or unrealistic.
And quite frankly, like, we don't have it all together.
No.
I feel like people come into a room and they're like, well, you're going to tell me how to live my life, right? It's like,
no.
Girl, I don't even know how to live my own life. That. Like, absolutely much not. Less help you out with yours in that capacity.
Right.
Like, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to listen to you. Yeah. And we're going to figure it out together.
Like, but if you want, like, that directive of answers, I'd be like, that's more of a life coach kind of thing. Not a therapist kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's something for everybody. Mm-hmm. But, okay, do you feel like there's, like, a therapist stereotype that either is, like, spot on or it's, like, absolutely not? That is the furthest from the truth?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, I think mine would have to be, do you know the movie Couples Retreat?
Yeah.
And you know how they have all the different therapists? Yes. My mind instantly goes to that. But the therapist that, like, comes to mind, and maybe we'll figure out how to put, like, a video at the bottom of our video to show this therapist. But it's the one that, like, the note-taking therapist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big notes gallery. I have to take notes. And, like, in that, he's like, and then just writes things down. Like, I genuinely have to start every counseling session with a new person and say, hey, just so you know, I have to take notes.
You take notes during session?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm that typical therapist that takes notes, because I have to. And I tell them, I'm like, sometimes it's literally that you like Olivia Rodrigo and I'm writing that down so that I can remember for later.
But that's, like, what people remember is, because if you're like, hey, like, did you see that she fell through the stage a few weeks ago? And they're like, oh my gosh, you thought of me. Because it's like, no, like, that's genuine.
Yeah.
I love that, though.
Yeah. So typically it's, like, the little things that I always write down, like, what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
And so I can try and remember those. But I will, like, forewarn them, hey, if you ever want to see them, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
They're not big. I can, like, I can let you know that. Like, there's not insightful things down on my notepad. It is literally, like,
my dog's name is Millie.
Okay, great. Let me write that down.
Do you also do, like, shorthand? I feel like my notes, like, any other person would not understand anything that I'm writing.
Oh, we do a lot of arrows.
Yeah, it's
arrows,
a lot of, like
this.
Code words.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Check marks. And then just maybe, like, a little doodle. And I was like, what the heck is that? I was like, I'm not sure, actually.
So what about any, like, stereotypes that are, you're, like, the anti of that? I feel like that's a lot of them, actually. I feel like that's kind of our brand as a person. We're, like, the anti-therapist.
Yeah. Like, I feel like just me? I don't know. Like, you know, like, I'm not going to be stuffy.
Sure.
Which I feel like every time a client comes in, I say, what have you heard about therapy?
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're like, nothing. I'm like, sick. And then sometimes they're like, well, you know, I've seen on TV.
Oh, gosh. Where it's the, like, TV therapist.
Yeah, this is, like, an older white male.
Asking about your mother.
Balding. Yeah. And you, like, lay down on a leather couch.
So it's always brown leather couch,
too. It's always a brown leather couch.
It's usually pretty nice.
Yeah. It would be nice.
I know.
Not for me, though, because I run cold.
Easy to clean.
I'd probably be like, ew, this is too much.
No, I definitely agree with that. I love that. When I think about some of the stereotypes, I'm like, okay, definitely I confirm every stereotype that I love Inside Out, the movie.
Yes.
Especially the second one. I honestly,
like, haven't seen it.
Oh my gosh. Anxiety. Amazing. But the hard part is, like, I don't see myself as much as anxiety. I see myself in sadness. Sadness is my girl, for sure. And the second one is just so powerful because there's a scene where the main character Riley's having a panic attack and anxiety literally just wants to protect her.
Aww.
And I love that it's showing people that, like, anxiety is just this, like, ultimate, I always say it's like a dashboard in your car. It's like an ultimate warning signal.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that it's fact, because sometimes, you know, our lights come on in our car and it's just kind of blasphemy. But
it's gaslighting,
honestly,
at its
quite
finest.
Literally,
like, you're gaslighting me.
So yeah, I think that, like, I definitely confirm that stereotype that I love Inside Out. And I'm really good at Uno from working with kids. But I will say, like, I think I agree with you as a whole. Like, something I don't kind of fall under is, like, I don't judge clients.
Mm.
I feel like clients come in and they're like, are you judging me? And I think that's just kind of, like, their own insecurities, of course. But it's like, no. Like, if you are willing to come into therapy, there's no way I'm going to judge you. It would be very difficult for that to happen. Yeah. Just because, like, yes, we're therapists and we work in the field, but the amount of people who don't come to therapy, like, if you even, like, show up, that is huge. I tell my clients that all the time. Like, just by you logging on and showing up, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Especially on days where they don't want to come. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, let's celebrate the win that you didn't cancel this session. I'm so proud of you for not canceling, because I would have understood if you, like, thought about being avoidant for a little bit, because these feelings are hard. So definitely not judgmental.
Yeah, definitely not. There are not very many things that I feel like people could say to us and we'd be like, oh my gosh, like, pearl clutch. Like, yeah, we'd be like, oh, okay.
It's just hard, though, because, like, the RBF is loud.
Oh my gosh.
So it can look like that sometimes, and I feel like, obviously, my face on this podcast is very different than in session, because in session, like, my face hurts after I see a lot of clients in a row, because I have to be more of that, like, neutral. But my longtime clients know, if they were in this room, they would be like, Sarah, you are not a blank slate therapist. Like, no. Like, I'm really not.
Like, I have to practice not using my face, because I am so, like, visual that I'll be like,
yeah.
Which right now I have Botox, so that helps. Yeah. I got Botox in my forehead.
Right on.
Yeah. So it helps me not, like, make as big of facial expressions, which I think is helpful.
I was actually just thinking about that the other day, that I'm imagining that, like, therapists are facial muscles fatigue and age differently, because we have to be so expressive.
Well, that's why my lady, she's like, why do you have so many lines in your forehead? I'm like, I genuinely think it's because I sit and I listen to people's lives all day.
All day.
And sometimes my eyebrows, they just get a little wild on me. Well, and they start to lift.
If any, like, esthetician, is that who does injections? Or, like, nurse could practitioners?
Be. Yeah, there's a lot of people, even dentists.
Oh, wow. So if any healthcare provider wants to offer a big deal on injections, hit us up. So okay, how did we get here? I feel like it's helpful, because I feel like a lot of people are like, did you always want to be a therapist? And for me, it's like,
no,
I just kind of ended up here. So how did you end up here?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, to begin, I wanted to be a veterinarian.
I love that.
I feel like every girly at, like, 10 is like, I want to help the animals, and then you realize
part of it is about death.
Yes. and it's, like, essentially becoming a doctor, but not.
It's a lot of chemistry.
It's a lot.
A lot of math.
And that was not my strong suit. So for me, it started in college, and it was my sophomore year of college. We've had to get real deep. And I had torn my labrum. I was playing college tennis, and I essentially,
D1,
like,
college tennis, by the way.
Stop it. Go Blue Hose. PC, smallest division one school in the nation. But anywho, so I was playing tennis there, and I felt like my life was over, because, you know, you start at, like, five.
Right. It's your whole identity.
Essentially. Like,
it has to be.
I was a tennis player. Yeah. That was who I was as a human.
Sure.
And so I lost that, and I was like, okay, well, I can't even use my arm, much less play the sport that I came to this school to play. And I just got real dark. I got a dark place. And you know, this is gonna be so bad, but typically, like, when I would think about counseling, I'd be like, oh, I don't need that kind of stuff.
Like, you just suck it up and you move on. Especially as an athlete too, it's like, throw some dirt on it.
100%. Like, embrace the suck kind of thing. And so I was like, oh, well, I don't need that. But then sophomore year, I was like, I need something. Like, help me, please. Sure. I'm alone on an island. So I went to a counselor in Clinton, and she was phenomenal. Like, she genuinely, like, changed my life. I was like, wow, this is not what I thought this was going to be. And through that, I was like, wow, I want to help people in that same way.
I love that.
And so that's kind of what got me into it, is like, I genuinely, because I always loved helping people and listening to people's stories, but I was like, you can't make a career out of that. Like, you gotta be, like, a psychiatrist and give medication and do all of those things, and I'm not down for that.
Not my speed.
And then, you know, started taking psychology. Nice. And I was like, let's do counseling.
I love that.
What about you?
Wow, that's really cool. I feel like I just kind of, like, ended up here, truthfully. I genuinely don't think I knew I wanted to be a therapist until I was in grad school to be a therapist. 'Cause I feel like So obviously you wanted to be a vet. I wanted to be a fashion designer very early on.
I can see that.
Which is funny because I'm like super neutral now as a human being. But I think that was just like the creative part of me. And I obviously loved art, things like that. So I loved the idea of fashion, creativity, design. Don't know when that changed. I got really shy in elementary school and I just kind of like shut down. My mom says around like second grade. And so I was like, I feel like I made a lot of decisions after then about like what I felt other people wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. And so like my mom was a teacher and a school counselor. And I was like, okay, well, like I'll be a teacher. Also, because at the same time, like I was a really good student. I was always like the teacher's favorite. I was always the student that was like super quiet and like would lend a hand. But like the quote unquote problem children would always be moved next to me in class. And so I genuinely never felt like I could do anything wrong. Because it was like I had to be perfect all the time. And I feel like that just like says a lot about me as an adult now. It's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Recovering from perfectionism.
Honestly. Well, yeah. Especially because like I was kind of like put on a pedestal by teachers. And like they did the best they could. And they just knew that like Sarah would never be a problem. She's super quiet. She gets her work done. She's a role model. And I don't know when that changed to like, oh, like having so many students around her that were kind of acting out, like, made me feel like my feelings couldn't take up space. And so, longer term, I said I was going to be a teacher, and that's when I got my bachelor's in. I was literally certified to be a teacher. But then after I graduated with my bachelor's degree, I was like, I don't like this. I actually remember my last semester of college. I was like, I got a great evaluation after the program supervisor watched me teach. She gave me this amazing critique and it was like phenomenal and she was like so impressed, and I remember reading it and I was like, I actually don't like this. And so I felt really bad. I was like, I don't even think I talked to my parents. I was probably talking to the person I was dating at the time, but I was like, I actually don't think I want to do this anymore. And I was like 3 weeks from graduation.
And like becoming a teacher is so specific, like that type of education.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, so how do I switch? Like, how do I pivot? What do I do with this?
And
now?
So like now when I see teachers that are like trying to leave the field, I'm like, no, I absolutely understand that like existential panic of like, how do you translate these skills? But they transfer so well. Like as a teacher, you were a chameleon. I mean, you know, you were in the classroom for a little bit. And so, I mean, after undergrad, I worked retail. And I worked as an assistant for a small business owner, and she made jewelry, and I loved it. It was so fun. It was actually interesting. I was thinking about it today that, like, it makes a lot of sense. I worked with kids, and then I interned, and I worked with, like, a small business owner, and I learned, like, the back end of business, and I actually loved it because her mom was an accountant, and she did her books. And I remember, like, really liking the bookkeeping side of things, ironic, because of what we do now.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I don't like this. And at the time, I, like, felt myself in a weird place mentally. And I was, like, in therapy as a kid for sports a little bit. And my parents were always like, she just kind of seems a little anxious. No kidding.
Just a little.
Right. And so I, like, knew that therapy was there. I was pretty open to it. And I was, like, obviously in Athens. I was like, well, why don't I just apply to grad school? I'm already living here. So I applied to one program. And I was like, okay, well, if I get in, I guess this is what I should do. And if I don't, let me go teach not in the United States. I was like, I'm just going
to
move.
Which I need to like have a shout out to Sarah right now because it is so hard to get into the UGA counseling program.
I didn't realize that.
Like it's top 7.
I didn't realize that
in the US. Yeah.
Which is so weird.
And even any other like programs, like because there was a ton of people, especially when we were graduating, I feel like counseling was just coming up as like a big thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were like, ooh, I'm into psychology and major in that. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to become a counselor or I'm going to become a psychiatrist or a school counselor. So all of those programs were highly saturated.
That's hilarious. You're
just like, I'm just going to apply to like this one and like see what happens, and instantly got in.
Which is crazy because like, I mean, I don't remember writing my personal statement. I don't remember any of that. I didn't prepare for the interview day. Like, I was just like, I don't know what I want to do. I think that just also shows like how lost I was at that time. I was like, it's fine. I'll either do this and I guess that's my life or I'll move.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you showed up, you did not seem lost in that pink blazer. I remember seeing you and I was like, That girl,
the bright pink blazer and floral pumps.
It was amazing. I actually, on the way to going down to UGA for our interview process, I got a speeding ticket.
Did you really?
I did. And so I was already like, it's a sign from the Lord that I'm not meant to go here. Thankfully, everything worked out. Aww. But
yeah,
I know you seemed like the most put together. That just blows my mind. I don't think I ever knew that. You yeah. never told me that you only applied to one.
I only applied to one. And I was just like, I don't know what to do here. I don't know.
And then you showed up and then just like straight slayed.
Which is funny because like I am so intense with myself and like I hold myself to such high standards. It doesn't make sense that I was just so like, whatever happens. I think it was just like I was so tired at that point. And after undergrad, my health fell apart too. So yeah. I was also like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Let's just change my whole life. But yeah, so we're here. And obviously we have our own practice now, which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
I feel like we went through the gamut of associate licensure years. Yeah. And now we're on the other side.
We just did like everything. Everything yeah. all the time.
Which makes me sad because like. Okay. Cool. So obviously we just recorded that whole segment and had to ditch it because the audio wasn't being audio. So that's fun.
The joys of learning how to podcast as a first timer.
I'm just excited for like when we're able to look back at this and be like, wow. We had potential.
Like, wow, this was your first one? That's not bad, though. I feel no, like we're not doing bad.
I don't think we're doing horribly. We're I do just... think that we're going to look back and be like,
noobs.
Right.
Can't figure out how to use GarageBand.
I say, especially with, like, the technology component.
The technology component's what's really
But honestly, if we can navigate right starting this business up, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because starting this business has made me want to, like, rip my hair out.
Oh, 100%.
Many times.
They do not teach you this in school, kids.
No. Hey, UGA, if you want to have us back to do a lecture, a series on...
Yes, we're calling you out. Like, let us come and figure out how to do a presentation on how we started our business.
Taxes. Literally just, like finding payroll. An office. Payroll. Picking an EHR.
Getting your LLC right. registered, which we almost, like, had to pay $1,000 extra. But thankfully, right. the people at the office were like, oh, you don't need to do this yeah. twice.
They're so nice.
They were so nice. LegalZoom. You guys, too.
That's Mark Cuban, right?
LegalZoom? Yeah, the guy from Shark Tank.
Yeah. You know I love me some Shark Tank. I should have known early on that, like, I would end up as a business owner.
I was about to say, you little corporate America
just
girl.
Just because, like, I, like, sold things in elementary school. Like, I would, like, make little, like, pencil boxes, and people would talk about, like, we're going to sell Sarah's pencil boxes, and I'd have, like, my little employees, and...
You just smashed on Etsy as, like, second grader.
Which is hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Because, like, I was so shy, too, and mm-hmm. I was, like, trying to, like, run a little business as a little tiny tot.
The little biz nasty.
I should have known.
You were just prepared. You were getting ready.
And I was on math team in high school.
You're being developed and molded into the Soulhaven co-owner that you are today.
My JV math team. It was actually Mu Alpha Theta in high school. I really did it because I wanted the cord.
Don't we all?
That was the right? thing.
Like, isn't that a thing? It's like, I'm going to do whatever I can to get one of those cords when I walk.
Well, now you know because obviously we work kind of down the road from where I went to high school. Mm. It's like 30 minutes from here. But now that you know the area well enough, like, you know it was a pressure cooker. And, like, the more cords you had, the better, like, prestige mm-hmm. you were seen with. Mm-hmm. And, like, people had, like, 15 cords. It wasn't just, like, oh, like, 1 to 2. It was, like, dozens.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I felt like a failure because I only had, like, 3 or 4.
Which is just wild because some people don't have any.
Right. And, like, also, like, some people don't graduate from high school.
Yeah.
And then I went to Georgia and I got it early. It's like, there's so many things I wish I could tell my younger self.
Yeah.
What would you say to your younger self?
My younger self?
Yeah.
I'd be like, unclench.
I would too. I would say, like, girl, it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to do everything all the time. It's literally okay.
Yes.
And also, like, people are not going to care that much. No. I think that was my biggest thing is I thought that everyone was going to hate me if I didn't win or if I didn't make this A or if I wasn't nice 24/7, I was going to be like I was outcast.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, my perfectionist came in because I was like, I have to be everything for everyone all the time.
Right. I know.
And it's just not possible.
Well, that's, like, I think about the same thing. It's like, man, like, I was so intense as a kid. And it almost, like, makes me sad for that, like, younger version of myself because I was like, oh, like, I remember, like, not having as much fun at things because I was so worried about everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I wish I could go back and tell myself, like, hey, you are more than enough. It's okay to feel your feelings. You're not too much. And like, it's going to be okay. Like, it's not that deep. But there's no way I would have actually listened to that.
Oh, no.
In the moment.
If anyone would have told me, because my tennis coach back in time, she told me that. She was like, Caroline, you're going to be 20 years old and no one's going to care what you were ranked in Georgia as a tennis player when you were 10.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, they will. They'll be looking at my tennis recruiting, which like, we're probably about to get into this. But like, because I was so just like pent up all the time.
Right.
It was just recently, like maybe within a year, that I realized there was this time in high school where every time I coughed, I would throw up.
Oh gosh.
Every single time. I think I remember
you telling me that at one point.
Yes. And then I looked at you and I was like, and that was 100% anxiety.
Oh, that's for sure.
Like, and I had no idea. We went to like an ear, nose, and throat doctor, like someone for allergies. They thought maybe it was allergies. No, I was freaking stressed and I was making myself vomit every time that I coughed because it was like prime time when I needed to be like winning matches.
It also like wasn't talked about when we were kids either, because I know like now, like even like seizures because of high levels of stress and anxiety, that obviously happens a lot more now because kids are just under so much different pressure. But like, it still existed back then. And like the throwing up, the tics, like people literally have tics and they always have, but like they just weren't talked about. That's so sad. I just, like, want to hug my younger self all the time.
I know. Like, I look back at her and I'm like, oh, you poor thing.
Right.
Like, it's going to get better. It's going to be okay.
I say, when do you feel like that changed for you?
this is so sad. I feel like it genuinely changed maybe our second year in grad school.
Why that second year? Because it was, like, traumatic?
Yeah, I think because we just went through so much.
And then COVID hit.
Yes, and I finally had to be like, you know what? I cannot make everyone happy. Yeah. I just can't. Like, I just can't do it. Like, I don't have it within me to make every single person happy, and I can't. Like, I would say it's, like, my second year of grad school. So, what was I, like, 23, 24?
Right. I mean, honestly, like, I would say it took me going through, like, extensive trauma to lose that. And that was after grad school. Because I came out of grad school still, like, who you are is not okay. And like, you need to do better and you need to be better.
Yeah.
Also because that's kind of like what we were taught in grad school.
Definitely.
It's like you need to be like the ideal therapist that does things like by the book. And I loved our program and I'm very grateful to have like first of all gotten in and to have been through a graduate education. But I feel like, I don't know, I just wish it was more like realistic how we were trained.
Yeah.
But I feel like every therapist talks about that too.
For sure. I feel like that's, and I could see that probably across all professions too, of like, oh, this is the perfect way that needs to be done. And if you're not doing it this way, then you're going to fail. It's like they're almost scare tacticking you to not make unethical decisions, which is great. We don't want to be unethical. Sure. But it's like, it's okay if we have some tissues and we give them a tissue.
Right.
Like, they're not going to look at me and be like, you horrible human, how dare you trying to make me suck back up my tears.
Right.
It's like, no, it's okay. I just want to make sure you're, like, not snotting on yourself, because I wouldn't want to snot myself in therapy, but that's just me. So if you don't want to take a tissue, that's chill. Yeah. But
well, at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like it was having, like, extensive trauma post-grad school that also made me learn how to take care of myself. Because I just kind of stopped. Obviously, it's trauma.
Snaps.
Because what was it? And that's the thing that kind of drives me a little cuckoo sometimes, is I was like, man, like, I am someone that, like, exercises really early in the morning. I drink kind of enough water. I eat a lot of nutrients. Like,
she does do that.
Like, I journaled for a long time. I go to therapy. I was like, how did I become this person? But I think that the thing was, like, it happened gradually. Yeah. Because, and that's what's the hard part, is I think I lost some street cred with some of my clients. Because they're like, who exercises at 6 a.m. and drinks enough water and eats vegetables? And I'm like, I do, but I haven't always done that. And that's okay. And I also, like, don't think poorly on anyone for not doing those things, because, like, I've been there too and it's fine.
It's so funny you bring that up. Like, who does that? Because I had a client who's like, who, like, doesn't have a little bit of depression? I was like, lots of people. Like, sadness is very different than depression. She's like, I was like,
this teenager
girl. Yeah, 13. Like, yeah, very angsty. She's like, who doesn't have a little bit of it? And I'm like, a lot of people.
I was gonna say, teenagers though, they all, a lot of them,
yeah, they're all caring. a lot right now.
It's a lot of big feelings.
Yeah.
Well, and like, even if it's like sadness as an adult, if a teenager perceives it as depression, it's like, does that make it depression? I don't know.
Now we're getting heady.
I know.
Galaxy brain. There's Sarah's galaxy brain.
That's when I start to like jump away. I think about like Frogger, like jumping through the little, what is it, like a road or?
Oh yeah, the little meet meet. Yeah, and you gotta jump over the little pond thing.
Those are all my incomplete thoughts. I really should get evaluated for ADHD at some point in my life, but it's not like I would do anything different.
Well, I'm gonna bring you back on to track, and we're gonna get on to our
please next do
question that we've had to now record two times.
Twice. Love that. Yeah. We're still recording too.
Yeah, so we're gonna check it. Okay, yeah, I think that both of our mics are on and it's working.
Yeah.
So your therapist self.
Yeah.
How is it different than just like your normal everyday human self out in the real world?
I think it's changed. For sure.
Yeah.
I think when I first started being a therapist, it was just kind of like a mess all the time. And I didn't know how to compartmentalize as well. Also because like I never learned or taught myself how to care for myself either. And so it was one of those where I was like, I am the receiver of so many feelings and I don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it and I was good at it, but I just kind of, I was really regulated in the session, but like outside I wasn't. And it's not like I like went in a negative space. I just like had too many feelings in my head.
Yeah.
And some of them were mine and some of them weren't. So I feel like when I first started, I wasn't as confident as a therapist, but then as a human being, I also wasn't as confident. And I think I was just kind of all over the place all the time emotionally. But now I think I'm more confident across the board. I also think I'm a lot more numb just because of life experiences. Like pre-2022 me and now are, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. They're very different people.
Yeah.
And the people that like are close to me are like, you know, there's before that and then there's after that in you. So I think I'm a lot more numb for sure. But I think it's kind of in a good way sometimes. I have to like check in with my feelings a lot. But I've just like gained more empathy for others in that too. But I think that there isn't much of a difference now between me as a therapist and me as a person.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten better at like speaking up.
Yeah.
Then my clients actually respond really well to that. And I'll even say like, hey, are you looking for insight as a clinician right now or as a person? Because I'd be like, I actually don't think that you're looking for clinical insight. I think you're looking for another human being to look at you and say like, it's okay.
Mm.
And so I'd say like, I wouldn't say I'm the same because obviously this is work at the end of the day and I love what I do, but it's still a job. I'm definitely more like cynical and snarky outside of work just because that doesn't feel professional some days. And I definitely use more colorful language outside of work. And I probably have a shorter fuse outside of work because I have to be patient at work.
Mm.
And it's also easy to be patient with other people,
mm-hmm.
but with myself, I'm just not.
Yeah. So. Okay, with yourself. Yeah. I was about to say, you do not have a short fuse with others.
Oh, I have a super short fuse with myself, though.
Yeah, yeah, I can
see and that. Probably my spouse sometimes, which I feel bad that he gets the receiving end of that.
We love you, Ryan.
We do, like, dearly.
You're the best.
It's hard to be with a therapist. He'll be a guest at some point to roast me the whole time.
I cannot wait. I'm so pumped. No, I think that definitely tracks and that makes sense. And yeah. I see that within you. Like before you couldn't compartmentalize.
No.
So you'd bring everything from the room out, especially when we were at Treehouse.
Yes.
Whereas now I've just seen you like mesh into, because I hear you talk with clients like in the, you know, the waiting area.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's just Sarah.
Yeah, it's, you know, no different.
Whereas other therapists, I'll hear them and be like, who in the world is that? Like, even their cadence and like the height and tone of their voice, it's completely different. But it's with you, I'm like, oh no,
that's, it's the exact same.
Yeah.
Which is funny because then people are like, well, outside of session, are you like, it's funny. They're like, are you psychoanalyzing me? I'm like, I'm really not.
No.
I was like, also like tired. Psychoanalysis, that's really Freudian. That's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm too tired and I'm too lazy.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm outside of session, I'm probably thinking about like dinner.
Yeah. What I'm going to do.
I'm trying to think about like how long it's been since I let the dog out.
Yeah. A little hanky spanky.
Yeah. If I've forgotten to respond to a text, which I probably have.
Yeah. Especially with the do not disturb. On the phone.
Therapists are hard to like be friends with.
We're just hard all around, I feel like.
Yeah.
But you gotta love us, you know, because we're gonna be there no matter what.
For sure.
But
It's kind of funny. I was like asking Ryan the other day, and I was like, do you think me being a therapist was a red flag when we were dating? And he was like, well, you didn't tell me what you did for a long time, because I was working in the child advocacy center when right. we first started dating.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, I work at a nonprofit. And then I was like, oh, I work at a nonprofit for children. And then I kept going. And this was like every week I would like give him a little bit more. And I was like, oh, like I actually am a therapist in a nonprofit for children. And then I was finally like, by the way, those children that I am a therapist for have also experienced very severe abuse and trauma.
And Ryan just like, praise God that I love you, because if you would have divulged all of that in that first date, I might have been like, who are you? Because well, you have to be a special kind of human
right.
to work with kids who've experienced abuse and trauma
sure.
in that capacity. Because, yeah. I mean, being a teacher, yes, like 100% sure. they are seeing it. But in some ways, which not all teachers do, but in some ways, like, they can, like, avoid some of that and just be like, yeah. hey, we're gonna look over that and we're going to get through that lesson, which sure. that is because of that's, society that is not on the right. teacher.
That's a system just, issue. Yes. It's not a teacher issue most
whereas,
of the time.
Like, with a therapist, you have to be present in that and, like, sit right. with it.
But at the same time, like, every time someone is like, oh, like, you must be so incredible to do this, I'm like, it's honestly just, like, it's work. Like, mm-hmm. it's just my job. Mm-hmm. I think it just, like, matches my skill set and my personality. And I just kind of do that.
Ding.
But it was funny, though. I was talking the other day in, like, my own therapy. And I was like, I'm just really good at compartmentalizing now. Like, it's kind of wild. The last, I'd say, 3 years.
Yeah.
But like the my feelings are put in boxes, and the boxes are in the closet, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like my closets have closets now.
Yeah.
So as long as you like, as long as you end up unpacking them all, like, it's fine. What about you, though? How are you different?
So I might get some like flack for this one, but I'm just gonna go ahead and do it because we're being vulnerable and we're being real.
Yeah.
I think I'm completely different than my therapist self.
Yeah.
And I think not with other people. Sure. I think with other people, I very much like go into that. Like some of our text messages, I read them back, and I'm like, ooh, Caroline, that was not a friend response. Like, you need to check yourself for that. But, like, with myself, I'm 100% shut off to wanting to process.
Yeah.
Like, I tell my clients all the time, like, journaling is so great. And I love journaling. I will not journal. Like,
I don't journal anymore either.
So. I absolutely hate journaling. I always have. Yeah. I might do, like, a voice memo or, you know, like, in the shower just having a conversation. Sure. Pretending like it's happening. But I don't consider that journaling and processing. But anywho, I just think from those early years of like sports, mm-hmm. I've just very much gotten the mindset of you just gotta ignore it, push through it, figure it out.
Well, and how do you like process your own feelings?
I don't know.
Like, do you?
I really don't know. Like, I had a therapist for a very long time, and she yeah. got me, she was awesome, Alice, love her, but she's in Athens.
She was a G for
she
sure.
She was a G. She got me through grad school. Yeah. She helped me so much with all of that, like yeah. with processing through my relationship and with school and just like with who I am as a person, as well as understanding like my parents and what that dynamic's now gonna yeah. look like. So I feel I got through like the quote unquote big aspects, and now I almost just like,
you almost need like the day-to-day yeah. therapist,
right? And I'm yeah. like, I don't know what that would even look like for me, because yeah. I guess I've gotten into this capacity of do a lot of toxic positivity of like, no, we're good. We're fine. Like, even with yeah. our business, I feel like you're probably like, Caroline, chill out. But I'll be like, we're doing great. We're growing. It's awesome. This is going to go so well. But then I do have in the back of my mind when I get the freak out moments, I'm yeah. like, no, you don't have time to have those right now. Like, you cannot think about those.
Oh, that's
like,
interesting.
We've got to keep going.
I did the exact opposite. I didn't have a therapist for my like big grad school stuff. Mm-hmm. Luckily I had it when big things happened after grad school, but yeah. like now, like life-wise, I feel like that's the best therapeutic work that I have as a client.
Yeah.
I'm also just a rough client. My therapist is wonderful. She's very patient.
You do have a great therapist.
She's Olivia.
From
she's
what you've told
fantastic.
Me
she calls me out, and I need that.
Yeah. I feel like therapists need to be called out,
right?
Because we think we know.
We're the worst clients too. Yeah. Because yeah. like, it sounds bad, it's like if you give me a coping skill that like I know about, it's not gonna fly. Mm-hmm. But like, it's interesting you said you do voice memos. That is a skill that I recommended to clients sometimes. I'll yeah. be like, hey, like, talk through what you're thinking and then play it back.
Yeah. And then listen to yourself and be like, ooh, what do I feel like the right. second time hearing that when it's not coming out of my mouth yeah. and I'm listening to it. Yeah. But yeah, no, I, because like with clients, I'm extremely like process driven of like, yeah. let's understand everything around this.
A lot of fact finding.
Yeah, a lot of fact finding. And a lot of just like, well, you know, I will say the classic, like, well, how do you feel about that? Or what's that like for you?
What's it like in your body? Yeah. Where do you feel this in your body?
Yeah. I do that too. And like, with my own body and with my own mind, I'm like, girl, you gotta get over it. Like, you're yeah. good. Like, your life is great. You're doing well. Now, my boyfriend will probably be like, Caroline, that is not true. But that's where I say, I'm that way with me. Yeah. I'm not that way with other people. So, like, in relationships, sure. if I see something happening or if I'm feeling something
right.
happening, I'm definitely more of, like, a call it out. But I'm very direct.
Yeah.
And I'm not very direct in counseling.
I've become less direct as a person over the last few years. It's yeah. interesting. We've grown like opposites.
We have grown opposite, which is interesting that we're still like besties.
Well, yeah, because it's like the same dynamic, but we just kind of like Freaky Friday'd it.
Well, we swapped places.
Because I was even thinking about like before, like I was like labeled as like too blunt. I think especially as a woman too, like mm-hmm. I was almost so direct. Like it didn't give me some friends sometimes. But then as like a adult now, I'm not as direct. I need to get a lot better about that.
You're great with boundaries.
I try
sometimes
with like certain things I'm with some people really on top of.
Yeah.
But yeah, but other people I'm like, I don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you're a human being.
Yeah.
So I feel like so much of this podcast is going to be us talking about like different experiences that we've had and our clients have. And then also just us unpacking it as therapists and as human beings and like seeing the intersection of that, because I feel like we weren't allowed to be both ever.
Yeah.
And I also have to like check myself on that as a human. Be like, I can be a person and a therapist at the same time.
Right.
It's okay if both of those people are in the room.
Right. Like, I do not have to be a complete blank slate right. all the time. Like, people don't want to talk to people who no. are a blank slate. It's like no. you gotta have a little personality mm-hmm. because one, that's not disarming. It's very right. disarming to come in and be like, hey, I'm a human. Like yeah. when I leave here, I don't live here, first of all my kids think that I live in my office. Yeah, like, you not. Live here? I'm like, no,
the fridge isn't big enough here. Yeah.
I need way more snacks.
Yeah.
But like when I'm in this space, like I am showing up as Caroline.
Yeah. Like, you're gonna, like, see me.
Yeah.
Well, especially, like, when big, like, life things happen, like, with the election. Like, when I talk to clients, like, I have clients with very different political views. Mm-hmm. Some of them align with mine, some of them don't. But with some of them, it's always, like, hey, like, no one is okay. Mm-hmm. There's so much divide. Everything is so divisive right now. And there's just, like, this, you're never right and you're always wrong. And however you feel, it's not okay. And so I feel like there just needs to be that, like, the openness and the humanness in the room of like wherever you're at, like it's fine.
Yeah. So I love that we're doing this. One, because I think we need more podcasts that like essentially calls therapists out that like we don't have it all together.
We really don't.
And I think that's our ultimate goal, is to just be like, we are here as humans. We're yeah. gonna talk about things that are sucked and that have been hard.
Sure.
And the things that have been like great and easy. Yeah. Not a lot of the easy, but the great. We got a lot of the great. But just like diving in and tapping into that humanness and that realness that, I mean, that's essentially why we started this business, is absolutely. Because we wanted to be real and authentic where we're showing mm-hmm. up daily.
Right. And also giving ourselves that credit for the things that have gone right. Because mm-hmm. I feel like we don't do that, especially mm-hmm. you and I. We don't give ourselves credit.
No, we don't.
Like ever.
No.
Like the fact that we are doing this less than 6 months into a business and we're sitting here with podcast microphones on.
Which is a shout out to our amazing marketing team.
Zach and Brie, we love you.
Zach and Brie, y'all are the goats for real.
I've known them since I was 14 years old.
Wow.
Maybe even younger than that.
I'm honestly so blessed to just know them now.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, they're amazing humans.
It's really cool when you see such great people that young evolve into, like, even more amazing adults. Because I even remember, like, back then they were incredible, so kind, just really lovely humans, and they're still like that. It's like, wow,
thank you for keeping that.
They give me hope for sure.
Yeah. Which is what we need sometimes.
You can lose hope in yeah. this field sometimes. You yes. have a lot of darkness.
Yeah, in the world, especially the world right now,
right,
losing hope is not that hard to do.
So, and I love the idea of like, if we I don't know, end our podcasts with whether it's like a glimmer of hope somewhere or just like something that we can walk away with. Because I feel like obviously we're going to talk about things like the rules that we break as therapists or like just different topics in therapy about like body neutrality and like does body positivity exist and things like the mind-body connection and even just like perfectionism, things like that, relationships, what it's like, and then also just like the not fun things that we kind of have to go through. So I love the idea if we end up leaving the podcast just with something that we can either gain like insight from or walk away with or some kind of like glimmer.
I would think my glimmer would be that nothing is salient. Like, you do not have to be the same person that you are right now. But if you do want to be the same person that you are right now, that's totally fine and chill. Like, every single minute of the day is an opportunity for some form of a change, which can also be very scary. But at the same point, like, how like revitalizing to be able to sit and be like, okay, like this next second I can control that and I can figure out, okay, maybe I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, I really need to do this note, but I also really want to eat a donut. It's like, what's gonna be best for me right now? I know we have donuts sitting over there, you guys. Excited. And it's from Oh Sarah Donuts.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I got it just for you.
Oh, thank you.
We saw it. I was like, we gotta go there. Also, how our whole friendship started was on donuts. Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
You'd kind of judge me for liking the blueberry donuts, but those are still my favorite.
It's because it's the like,
it's the cake donut.
It's the cake donut. Yeah. That just
I love them. Those are still my favorites.
It's a red flag, but it's okay.
Well, I say that's my glimmer is a donut. But I also think that, like, mine is actually very similar. It's that, like, the tough things that you go through, like starting the podcast, like the technical difficulties that we've had, they are so temporary. And in the moment, you don't think about that. That's probably the last thing you think about because you think it's forever. But it's really refreshing to know that, like, 1 second is 1 second at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And one good one and one not so good one. Same amount of time. So it's really freeing. I love that.
Love that.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
Thank you.
You know, it might be like two of you, but sick. We're super excited to start this journey with each other and with y'all. And we hope that we can be somewhat insightful and helpful. Whether you're a therapist, whether you're a client, whether you're, I don't know, anyone in the entire world, we hope that at least you'll listen to this podcast and be like, oh, I enjoyed that one section. Yes. If it's only one section, that is great. We love that.
I'd say thanks for sticking around with us. If you are in the state of Georgia as a Georgia resident and you want to work with us in therapy, I promise we are good at what we do, despite some of the things that we may say. I can vouch for Caroline. I'm sure she can vouch for me.
Oh, 100%.
Feel free to check out Soulhaven, our business, at www.soulhavengeorgia.com. And honestly, like, I know that our first episode we are going to look back at and say, like, wow, what a hot mess, no rhyme or reason. But if you've reached this point, thank you, we appreciate you, and come on back and
we'll get better
when and we'll be better.
We'll be better. This is our hot mess together. It's our baby. It's our little baby.
It is.
We're gonna grow her and nurture her.
Given birth. Well, so I was thinking about my nephew, because his name starts with a G.
Oh yeah.
I was thinking, like, my sister-in-law gave birth to G baby, but we can cut that out.
Or we can leave it. I'm down to leave it because I love it. Okay, well, anyways, peace out, guys. We love y'all. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye.